Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Mono YQ Radio. My name is Will. We have a pretty action-packed show today. We have Matt Rodriguez from Honda Tuning Magazine. We also have two representatives from Nitto Tire USA. We have Harry Kong and Tim Colby. Should be a very fun show. Hopefully, everybody's going to have a good time with that. If you are a shop or a company or even an individual looking to advertise or sponsor the show, you can contact me, will@motoyq.com. We can get you set up. And so enough of paying the bills there. Let's get this thing started. We have Matt Rodriguez, Rod Rez, on the line right now. How are you doing tonight, Rod?
Not too bad, man. I just got home, actually.
Oh, really? Out there grinding for a magazine, huh?
Yeah. Kind of a late night tonight. So, I just got home a little bit ago. Just in time to log into the show.
Well, that's cool, you know? Man. I'm glad to have you on. And I think you're pretty much my go-to guy when it comes to anything Honda related between you and Brian over at Hasport. I don't think I can lose. But let's talk about what's in the latest issue of Honda Tuning.
The one on the stands right now has a couple of RSXs on the cover. It's been a while since there's been an RSX on the cover, and it seems like a lot of those guys in that community are really building those cars out, you know, pretty nice now. So I found a couple of them, a silver one and a black one. One's a road race car, and the other one more of a street slash show car. And I don't know, the reception's been really, really good on them. That community's actually grown quite a bit over the last couple of years. I think probably part of it has to do with the fact that, you know, the price of the RSX kind of came down as the car's gotten a bit older, just like the S2000. And the reception's been really, really good. I mean, the issue seems to be doing well. So I'm pretty happy with it so far.
Yeah, I know I asked you the other day. I had read your first editorial, and everybody definitely go out, pick up this magazine. If for any reason, just read his editorial. It's perfect. Can you give us a little taste of it?
For you talking about the Hollywood Diet one?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's funny with editorials. They completely just. It's one of those things that I kind of do like usually the last week before the issue's due. I don't really think about things beforehand unless it's something that's really, really been, you know, burning me up, or if it's something that I've been putting a lot of thought into. But most times it's just kind of off the top of your head, you know? And I don't know. With that, it just seems like a lot of guys are getting really, really carried away with the whole weight savings thing. And, you know, I'm pretty active on Facebook, the Honda Tuning Facebook page. And, you know, a lot of guys are always commenting on, you know, how all the new cars suck because they're all too heavy. And I always ask them, it's too heavy for what? And they say, you know, the old cars like, you know, CRX and, you know, the early 90s Civics and things like that are super lightweight, which is true. But, you know, you have to realize that things have changed quite a bit, you know, safety standards and things like that come into play. And guys are talking about stripping the cars all the way down to, you know, just a bare shell and just a driver's seat and a dash. And it's kind of silly for, you know, for a daily driver
right.
to be cruising around like that. And, you know, it's a car you're not competitive with. It's something you drive to work or school every day, or maybe both. And you're cruising around in basically a tin can. And for what? I mean, it doesn't really compute. It doesn't really add up to me. And
right.
me and a few friends, we really kind of joke about it. It's kind of silly. And I think a lot of us went through that phase. I know I did, where, you know, I got to strip this thing down and get it as fast as possible. And there's
right.
really no reason to do that. And I think the first time I ever went to a track day, I actually had my full interior in. And I even had a small, a really, really small system, like a 10-inch bazooka tube or something in the back.
Right.
And you know, taking that stuff out, it wouldn't have made any difference. You know, my first time out, I was still slow, no matter what. So it didn't really
right.
matter. So I think the next time I went out, I stripped the car down. It really didn't make a difference. It was more about learning the lines and actually being able to drive.
Right.
Was far more important than, you know, than 20 pounds or 30 pounds from
right.
From rear seats. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
yeah.
I got a few messages actually about that one. People were just laughing. They thought it was hilarious.
Well, I mean, it's definitely one of those things where it was a style for a time to have, you know, a completely, well, for the most part, interior, but it was painted smooth.
Right.
And it looked really nice, especially if it, you know, coordinated with you know, a bolted or welded in roll cage, you know, just like a 4-point or something like that.
Sure.
You know, there was a time when that was, you know, was the go-to, and, you know, I thought it was super clean. You know, I think maybe that's what they were going for. Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think, you know, and part of it when I said, you know, these guys look silly driving around in fake race cars, but I mean, I guess we're kind of all guilty of doing that in that, you know, we don't really have to have this loud exhaust system on our cars. We don't really have to have that extra 20 horsepower from this or from that. But
exactly.
It's just, you know, that's, it, obviously it's what we're into and it's what we like to do. We like to tinker. We want to make more power. It feels good to put the power down in the street or, you know, whatever you're doing with the car.
Oh,
but
yeah.
At the same time, I mean, you know, sacrificing your safety, taking out bumper supports and, you know, stripping your car down so you can't give anybody a ride anymore because you don't have any rear seats, you know, it's just silly to me. And, you know, I got some flack, I know, on the HT Facebook page where people saying, you know, why are you bothering putting any time into a sedan? Because I've got a 2007 SI sedan that I started working on. And I said, well, you know, I have a kid and I've got to be able to put him in the back seat.
Exactly.
And putting them in a hatchback is not the business. It definitely isn't.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think maybe it was just, you know, the time. At that time, you know, going for that particular look, like that's kind of what you did.
Mm-hmm.
But I, at this point, I wonder if, you know, we're going to start to see some innovations. And I know we already have, especially with Dynamat coming out with different thicknesses for their Dynamat. Like that,
right.
To me, that says they're looking out for the street enthusiasts that, you know, might go hit the track every once in a while.
Sure.
That they do want that nice, solid quality of their audio, and they're willing to sort of, you know, forego that. And, you know, maybe they can take the standard deadener out and then put in this really nice Dynamat that, you know, you might save 5 or 10 pounds. But
yeah.
You still achieve the same result, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think if you put that in front of an enthusiast and say, hey, you can have this one that weighs, you know, 30 pounds, you can have this one that weighs 40 pounds, you know, obviously you're going to go for the one that weighs 30 pounds. It's, you know, you're adding less weight to the car. I think in something like that where you're actually adding something to the car, you know, you always want to go with the lightest. Obviously, you don't want to tack on too much weight.
Exactly.
But when you're talking about a stock car and you're pulling out the, you know, the stock jack and you're pulling out the you know, the spare tire,
right,
and all the little bits and pieces, I guess, you know, for a lot of people, it's just a mental thing where they figure, you know, pull this stuff out and my car is just going to, you know, be smoking Corvettes and I'll be killing Mustangs and all that stuff. And it's laughable. I mean, it's just funny to me. So I got a kick out of it. And actually after I wrote it, a few guys at the office read it and they were just cracking up and they're like, yeah, we kind of have that in our group. Cause you know, at my office, it's not just Honda Tuning. There's other magazines as well. From, you know, Motorcycle Mags to Lowrider, stuff like that. And so, they can all kind of relate though. I think we've all seen that group of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I had to talk about it. I thought it was perfect and it was well-timed. But let's talk about this year. I mean, you know, we're coming into the show season, the motorsports event season. Like it's about to get kind of crazy out there. And WeFest just happened not too long ago. What do you think of the event?
WeFest is cool. I try to make it up to that one in San Francisco every year just because, you know, it's a very, very big event. There's usually some good cars to find as far as features.
Right.
And hopefully, you know, cross your fingers, hopefully there's cover-worthy cars as well.
Right.
That event's like a no-fail event because whenever WeFest throws that one, I mean, it's always a huge hit, and this year was, you know, probably bigger than ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even, you know, they've been traveling, they've been kind of touring. They did WeFest LA and I think Hawaii and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And a few other places. And, you know, I've heard that a few of those stops didn't go so well, but it really doesn't matter because when they go back to Frisco, it completely makes up for it. And
right.
I'm pretty sure they make all the money back because there was a lot of money to be made that day.
Right.
I got there around 6:30 in the morning.
Right.
And there was already a group of people in line waiting to get in. And I said, you know, what time do those guys get here? And Ernesto is one of the organizers. He said, dude, they camped out. They were there since 1:30 this morning.
Wow.
And which is just, you know, to me, it's just completely insane. But, you know, even by like maybe 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, there was already a huge line. And by 12 o'clock, it was just, you know, complete madness. So yeah, I mean, it was a huge, huge hit. I don't think anybody expected it to not be big. The thing is, the cars they had in there last year, there seemed to be quite a bit more Hondas. I was actually judging engine bays for the Honda group last year, and
okay.
I think there was like maybe 101 or 102 Hondas.
Whoa.
Whereas this year, off the top of my head, just glancing, I'd say maybe there was like maybe 30 to 40.
Really?
So yeah, so it's kind of surprising because that was kind of the bread and butter, where, you know, guys were building Hondas and building them in anticipation of that show and unveiling them there, just like they kind of do in SoCal for Nisei.
Right.
And so I was a little disappointed to see that drop off. I think they were just trying to get some more variety this year. So they had a lot of Evos and Subarus and even, mm-hmm. like, you know, some ETRs. There was even some American muscle cars there too, which is
really
cool to see. Yeah, yeah. There was a couple of cool ones, actually, that caught my eye. And, vendors were there. Sport Car Motion was there. You know, Loy and his group was over there. Joey from the Chronicles had a booth. So, I mean, it was a big show. There was a lot of, you know, big names there. But, like I said, I kind of wish that there was a bit more, Honda activity. But, you know, it's kind of how it is. That's what I went there to see, obviously.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you see, like, a new trend as far as Honda and Acura goes?
No, nothing I can put my finger on. I think this year with the Hondas, there wasn't as much of the stance stuff going on, which is great,
mm-hmm.
which I was happy about. There wasn't as many cars with wheels that don't fit,
right.
which was nice to see. you know, there was a few cars that kind of got lost in the shuffle, I think, and I think afterwards people were kind of slapping themselves for not taking a closer look.
Really?
Yeah, one of them being a white S2000 that was sort of back in the corner of
mm-hmm.
One of the halls of Fort Mason. A lot of people walked past it because it was a white S2000 with a carbon hardtop and silver Advans. And, you know, just walking by, you'd say, oh, that's cool, it's an S2000, it's clean, whatever. But
mm-hmm.
if you really, really took a closer look, there was a lot of pieces on that car that people didn't know about. One of them being the hardtop was actually an Amuse hardtop, which I believe it's the only one in the U.S. And I think it lists for like $8,900. It's crazy.
Damn.
Expensive.
That's a lot of bang.
And yeah, and then if you look a little bit closer, it actually had carbon doors. There were ASM doors that he painted the outsides and left the insides
no
carbon.
No way.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And then I asked him about his front fenders because they looked like they had been reworked. And I said, you know, these aftermarket fenders. He said, no, this is all sheet metal work. It's all built off of the factory fender and custom formed. And then he popped the hood and it had a completely fully built motor. Custom turbo kit. It was making like, I think you said 650 at the wheels.
Wow.
And just completely slept on. A lot of people didn't realize. And he didn't win any awards or anything. He was kind of snuck under the radar. But I was happy I got to talk to the owner and take a bunch of pictures. And we're going to do something in Honda Tuning later on towards the end of the year when he's made the change that he's going to make. And it should be really cool. But other than that, I mean, you know, the ATS Garage guys were there you know, there wasn't anything that really stood out that said, you know, wow, this is the car to see this year. It was just kind of, kind of the same stuff we'd already seen.
Interesting. That's awesome, dude. I mean, I think when you find those nice little gems that
yeah.
kind of off in the cut, I mean, it kind of says two things. Like, maybe it says, you know, that's some very, very high quality work.
Yeah.
It can just sort of look like a regular, you know, plus. S2000, and then on the other side of it is, like, you know, maybe people's eyes aren't as critical anymore, because, I mean, maybe it was just too subtle, but, I mean, those are some standout pieces. I mean, I guess people have seen the Spoon hardtop, or I can't remember,
right.
the Jay's Racing hardtop, but to see an Amuse one, maybe not attached to the rest of that Powerhouse Amuse wide body kit, maybe people will just totally miss that, but that's a huge point right there. You know, carbon fiber doors, it's easy to
right.
miss. But, you know, seeing those reworked front fenders, I mean, that's something that I would think any Honda fan would notice right out of the gate. But that's
right.
interesting stuff.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy just to see, just to think about. I mean, I could never spend that much money on one part for my car, but to know this guy spent, you know, almost $9,000 on a hardtop is insane.
Right.
And I'm sure the doors are probably more, but it's just crazy. And then I think, you know, part of the thing was he didn't have any, you know, bright stickers. He didn't have anything crazy on his car. It was really, really subtle and understated, and I think that's kind of his what he likes. That was the style that he intended with the build, which is really cool. I like that. You know, it's a little more under the radar and not so in your face.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
Yeah, so that was cool.
I can dig that. I can dig that. Yeah. What events are you looking forward to this year?
What's that?
So what events are you looking forward to this year?
I don't know. It's tough to see. You never really know. I think if you went to Week Fest and you kind of saw what was there, and you try to take that and apply it to what you're going to see throughout the year, it's just too tough to do. There wasn't enough new cars that came out that where you said, oh man, this is groundbreaking. This is some new stuff. It was cars that had already been seen at previous shows, and they might have had new wheels or maybe a few different changes under the hood. Maybe different valve cover, things like that. But nothing really, really jumped out and said, hey, this is going to be new for 2012 and, you know, everybody will ever watch out. There was nothing like that at all. I mean, everyone had tucked bays. The custom radiator thing, the tucked radiator thing was real big.
Mm-hmm.
I think, with the older, like the B-series setups, a lot of guys are going with the newer style coils.
Interesting.
You know, things like that, but nothing really jumped out and said, hey, this is going to be what's happening in 2012. I haven't seen anything really, really pop out yet. It's still early, obviously, but
right. Yeah,
as far as that show, nothing really stood out. It got to the point where it was so crowded where you could just barely walk around, and it was hard to take a photo. It was hard to do anything because it was shoulder to shoulder and you couldn't even hardly move because everyone was just kind of in the way. So I'm pretty sure talking to the guys, like Ernesto from the week, one of the Week Fest organizers,
right,
are probably going to try to find something bigger for next year because they've definitely outgrown that facility. That's for sure.
Wow. Well, I guess that's a good thing. I mean, I guess it says that there's a little bit of a recovery in our segment of the economy. That's pretty awesome.
I hope so.
I can definitely dig
that.
You probably get tons of things coming across your desk. Are there any new innovations or any new tuning philosophies or anything interesting coming across your desk?
As far as stuff that I can talk about, not too much. There are a few things, some developments, I'll just say, with the K-Series. Specifically with the K24 and the adjustability of VTC that a certain person is working on. And I kind of saw some of the numbers today. It's very, very impressive.
Really?
So Import Tuner is probably going to break the story first, and I'll probably do a follow-up, but it's going to be a few months. I think at this point, a lot of people are starting to realize that, and I'm going to probably get some heat for this, the K24 seems to just be a better motor than the K20 in terms of starting price and in terms of progression. And I know people are going to hate that because they're going to talk about, the K20, the K20R, being able to rev it out to 8 grand and all that. But the bottom line is for a person driving a street car or a mildly modified car, the K24 is just a better motor. And I think that's going to be proven this year by a few different tuners. And
Interesting.
It might shape things up a little bit. We'll see.
Well, I think that's the one thing that, I mean, I've always liked the K24. I mean, maybe just because I'm a torque guy. I like torque, that's pretty awesome. I think the K24 is going to be the go-to when it comes to making some solid horsepower. Especially when the K24 doesn't have iVTEC.
Right.
So people are going with the K20 head, but that is a rare sort of swap.
Yeah, the thing is, you really don't need it. The K24, it does well on its own, and you're going to see that, over the next few months as things start to unravel. And I think, a lot of people don't like, for example, the 2012 SI, they like the K20 of the previous generation, which is the model that I have. But I drove the 2012 SI. I actually had it for a week, and I took it up to NorCal for Week Fest to get some, some seat time in it. And it's impressive, man. I mean, that motor is really, really impressive, right out of the box. And I know that car isn't the prettiest, and people aren't liking the way that it looks and all that, but I'm more impressed with the way it drives. I'm more concerned with the way it drives rather than the way it looks. To me, the look of the car can always be modified or enhanced, and you can always get a better look out of a car. But the way it drives, that should be the number one factor, at
Definitely.
least for me.
Definitely.
You know,
Yeah,
and that car,
I agree
blew me away.
100%.
Yeah.
And with that 2012 year with the K24, is that going to have the IV tech on it, the full VTEC,
Well,
or?
here's the deal with the K24 and the SI. A lot of people are seeing these stories that are written and they're online talking about there was a bad reception from the public on the 2012 model, and I'm sure you heard that. I don't know if it was Consumer Reports or Car and Driver had dropped it off of their top 10 list.
No, I didn't see that.
But yeah, it was actually not the SI, but the lower models. And
Okay.
so what's happening now is there is going to be a minor model change. They're going to be making some changes to the car. I don't know when that's going to happen or if it's going to affect the SI, but that is going to happen probably before 2013. And that's all I got from it. I've asked a couple of different sources at Honda, and that's all they're going to give me right now. What people aren't liking about the 2012 SI, from a tuner standpoint, is the fact that the header is integrated, and you can't really just bolt on a header like you could with the K20.
Ah,
Yeah,
so
so
they use
same.
the same thing they did with the RDX.
And the TSX, right? So you
Oh,
can't just,
TSX, yeah.
yeah. So you can't just, you know, unbolt the exhaust manifold and slap on a, you know, a buddy club header or a DTR header. It's not like that, unfortunately. And then of course it has that plastic intake manifold, and people don't like that either. So I'm wondering, you know, who's going to be the first one to get that 2012 SI and then swap out the head for an older K24 head, which is dirt cheap right now. You can get it for like $250 used just about anywhere.
Interesting.
And you do that, you throw that on there, and you've got, you know, a pretty potent performer. You know, it doesn't take
Yeah.
much bad power.
I think the interesting thing to find out will be how much emissions equipment is going to be integrated in that will make that sort of swap, you know, automatically illegal on such a high level. And it won't be necessarily as seamless, but I really look forward to that because that's going to be some pretty cool innovation if somebody can really get that worked out.
Yeah,
Go
I mean
ahead.
with that car, I mean with the newer the 2012, the good thing about it is you buy that car, well, at least in California, you don't have to smog it for 5 years. You know, usually with cars you have to do it every other year, but if it's a
Right.
brand new car, you have 5 years to kind of play around and then deal with the issues, you know, later on, which I think a lot of guys will do.
That's
Going back to your
practicality.
question. Yeah, I mean, going back to your question about IVTEC, it is IVTEC equipped.
Okay.
Yeah, but the main thing about that motor that's really impressive is just the mid-range torque. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable
Interesting.
how much more torque you get from that thing, and it's awesome. Just, you know, passing power, getting up hills, everything really.
Nice.
It's
Very
a great
nice.
motor.
I guess one of the big things is Honda and motorsports. We've spoken to cool people from HPD. You know, the Honda Racing line is an awesome thing. Have you seen any new interest from shops coming out to play in motorsports?
On a grassroots level, definitely.
Yeah.
Elton over at Raceline USA, he's got it's a small shop in Temple City, and he's started to put some events together. The most recent one was at Chuckwalla Valley Raceway
Okay.
last weekend, and it's kind of a multi-part situation. He's got basically a track day for people to enjoy. There's also a portion of it which is a super lap battle qualifier. So you can try to get, you know, qualified for the super lap battle that happens right after SEMA.
Right.
And then the third part is something that I actually sponsor. It's the Honda Tuning R Challenge. And what it is, at the end of the day, they have a 4 lap battle for all R cars, basically Integra Type R or Civic Type R. They can all enter. This year they had like 6 or 7 guys come out, and they just do 4 laps, and then, you know, the fastest guy wins. And you know, just having like a one make model race is kind of, you know, kind of interesting and adds a little bit more to the actual event. So, I mean, obviously it's really small because it's just starting out now, But we're hoping, you know, with a little bit of media coverage and, you know, Facebook and all the social media networks, it'll start to grow and get more people out there. Because I know there's a huge group of ITR guys that track their cars and they want to compete against other ITRs, and that's the perfect place to do it, you know, at that one make event. So definitely Elton from Raceline, he's definitely pushing and he's getting his thing going. And he's got more planned and, you know, it went off without a hitch, no problems at all. And, you know, it's only going to grow. So that's good to see.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, we had a guest a couple episodes back who pretty much said, if you have a drag car that's been sitting in a garage collecting dust because you got no place to run, come do Time Attack. I was wondering what your opinion of that was.
Oh, man. That's tough. I mean, I don't think it's any big secret that you'd obviously have to change the suspension quite a bit.
Yep.
You know, pretty much completely swap the suspension out. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's interesting. I guess it would depend on how much of a drag car that was. Was it an outlaw, just a hardcore balls out drag build? In
right.
that case, I'd say the amount of money that it would take to switch it over to a road race car might be worth it just to start over, and you know, just buy a cheap chassis and build on that. I can kind of see where they're coming from. I mean, it's, you know, a race car is a race car, but at the same time, they're two different animals. You know, they're going in two different directions. So that's a tough call. I couldn't see someone just grabbing it, taking it out and just going for a spin on the track because, you know, suspension. I mean, I don't know if they have maybe aero, things like that.
Right.
There are some parts that I think are going to cross over, and I think we're going to see that soon. Where you've got guys, companies like Strada Industries who do, you know, those wide front ends to compensate for slicks and things like that for drag cars. I think those front ends are going to make their way into the road race environment. And there's guys that want to run huge, huge tires, and they need things like that. So I think the crossover is going to happen. I think people like Brian Gillespie and like Loy Song over at Sport Car Motion, they're probably going to end up doing stuff like that because they want to run ridiculous tires. And, you know, you're going to need something to put over those tires. So those drag front ends can definitely benefit them.
Yeah, especially because they're one piece, nice and smooth.
Yep.
I mean, that's a win-win. I mean, add a nice front splitter and you got yourself a pretty potent front end.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to chop it up a little bit to get the airflow going. But, I mean, you have to do that anyways if you have an intercooler. So
right.
I can see that happening.
Definitely, definitely. You know, Honda's been in the drag racing for quite some time. How do you, what's your opinion of drag racing right now for the Honda scene? Is it still as strong or is it growing? It's growing?
Yeah, I think it's growing. I mean, I don't think there's any secret that it's always been big on the East Coast.
Right.
And finally, it seems like the West Coast is starting to get more involved. You know, it definitely fell apart for a number of years, and I mean, everyone has their theories, but it definitely had something to do with when GM came in and sort of dominated and basically had unlimited funds going against the grassroots guys. It was just kind of a joke at that point.
Right.
And, you know, now that's been cleared and it's sort of in the past, I think people are starting to get hooked again, which is really cool. On the flip side, finding a place to race is going to get a little bit more difficult in SoCal. A few of the tracks are actually going to be closing down here shortly. I'm sure you've heard about that or read about it on Facebook, which is unfortunate. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, hopefully someone will invest some money and open something else up or maybe partner up with the guys at Chuckwalla and maybe add a drag strip out there or something because, you know, the two tracks that are going were pretty big. So, unfortunately.
I'd like to see – so I think drag racing brought a lot of innovation. But I'm really, I guess right now, I'm a much bigger fan of road racing and Time Attack and things of that nature.
Sure.
I think it's a little bit easier on a chassis, a little bit easier entry level for people to get out there and go run on the weekends and, you know, still have a drivable car. But at the same time, you know, drag racing is the bar that all cars are judged by. So we kind of have to have it. So that's, it's good to hear that it might be on its way back. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the newer guys that come into or start to get involved, Hondas, no matter where they're from, whether they were like an American car fan or if they're, you know, 15 or 16 years old and they get their first car, they want to know how fast the car was going to quarter mile. That's what they're concerned with.
Right.
I think road racing is something that comes later on. I think, I don't know, drag racing seems to just have that quick payoff, and it's very fast and right away. And, you know, that's what I get the most questions for as far as, like, letters coming through on the editorial email box is, you know, if I put this motor in, how fast am I going to be? Am I going to be able to beat a Mustang? Am I going to be able to, you know, am I going to run 11s or 12s or whatever it may be? So people want to know that, and that's
right.
You know, it's still really, really important. I think it's always going to be that way. That's kind of the American way.
But, okay. Well, speaking of letters, before we close out here, you had posted about this strange letter that you got.
Oh, God.
If you guys go over the did you post it on Honda Tuning Magazine's Facebook page?
Yeah, it was on the Facebook page. Just, you know, I think whenever a car is posted up on there, a lot of guys will, you know, typically jump on and say, oh, man, the car is weak. My car smoked that car, you know.
Right.
And, which is, you know, I mean, if you know anything about cars, you know, you should never do that because, you know, especially a picture of the outside of a car, you have no idea what's under the hood.
Exactly.
And I think at the time, I think it was a photo of a bunch of Type R's from the Honda Tuning Magazine R Challenge.
Right.
And some guy said that he would smoke those cars. And he just had some interesting theories on how to build motors. And you read it, so you know what it was. And for people that want to check it out, just go to the Honda Tuning Facebook page and snoop around a little bit and check out the photos and the comments, and you'll see it was pretty remarkable, man. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I laughed
big time.
Matt,
as always, dude, it's totally awesome to speak to you, and, you know, you definitely keep us up to date on anything that's cool in the Honda Acura scene. Thanks for coming on the show. Is there any shout outs you want to give?
Shout out to Sport Car Motion. Lloyd over Sport Car Motion is taking care of the SI project for me right now. I've got a newborn, so my hours under the hood are kind of eliminated at this point. Yeah, I'm pretty much grounded. So basically he's doing a bunch of work for me for the time being until I can kind of get back on my feet. And definitely to ASC Speed Metal, who's going to be taking the car next. And you can see, you know, the buildup in the magazine over the course of the next, I don't know, maybe like 5 or 6 issues, little by little. It'll just be a street build, 2007 Civic Si sedan. Just going to be testing out some different power combinations, try to find the best combination for that K20. So, keep an eye out for it.
Definitely. Everybody go do that. Check out HondaTuningMagazine.com. Go check them out. Hit them up on their Facebook page. Matt, it's always a pleasure, man. We'll do this again very soon.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks, Will.
Hey, take it easy. Bye-bye.
All right. See ya.
Take it easy. Well, that guy, everybody, that was Matt Rodriguez, editor of Honda Tuning Magazine. He is a longtime guest of the show. Great guy. Great magazine. So when you guys get the opportunity, definitely go check out Honda Tuning Magazine. And go over to that Facebook page and see if you can check down that comment we were talking about. It's quite hilarious. But coming up next here on Motor YQ Radio, we have two representatives from Nitto Tire USA. We have Harry Kong and Tim Colty. I do see them as being on the line currently. Are you guys on the line right now?
Hey, Wallace, it's Harry.
Tim. Hey, how's it going, guys? Glad to have you on the show. I guess, we'll start with Harry. And Harry and Tim are both marketing and event specialists. Harry does the Sport Compact, FD, Redline Time Attack, and GTA, Mobile Time Attack. And Tim handles Off-Road and King of Hammers. So I think we're going to get into some pretty interesting conversations this evening covering a very wide range of vehicles. Harry, Tim, thanks for coming on the show. Greatly appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
Harry, we'll go with you first. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do for Nitto?
For my side, you know, take care of the Sport Compact marketing, so import segment, European segment. Take care of the social media side, some of the digital advertisement, video production, and for motorsport side, mainly the Time Attack series and the Formula Drift series.
Okay. Tim, what about you?
We do a bit of everything. I try to get to as many of the races and shows as possible. You know, for Formula D, we'll help change tires out there. For NMRA, the drag racing series, we're out there talking to consumers. And then for the truck and off-road stuff, we're there supporting the racers, but also talking to consumers and, you know, similar things to Harry. Part of my job is to help create contents and shoot photos and video. That way we have stuff to upload to Facebook and YouTube and stuff like that, and then help create ads. And, yeah. And then back in the office, it's all the paperwork and not-so-fun stuff.
Paperwork. Nice. Harry, can you tell us about motorsports and Nitto and how those two sort of come together?
Well, it was a little before my time, but I believe Nitto really got engaged with motorsports through import drag racing. From my understanding, it kind of swayed from the street races, and then kind of when IDRC and Battle of the Imports started to become well-established,
right.
We stepped in and supported two teams. It was Bergenholz Racing and Adam Sauer with Tari.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, we really took a big investment into the import drag racing scene. And you know, we saw that. Yeah, and we saw people really being engaged and involved with the whole tuner market. So Nitto took the time and effort to really market it and invest into the program, and we wanted to build it into basically, you know, what became of NHRA. So that's kind of how we first started, and that's how we kind of grew with the import segment.
Tim, how did off-road sort of, how did Nitto see off-road as an opportunity?
Well, the major thing was the manufacturing side. I'd say that was probably one of the first things Nitto was able to successfully target that other manufacturers had a hard time doing, was uniformity of the product.
Okay.
And, you know, Nitto and Toyo were the only companies that build our truck tires on, you know, automated manufacturing systems. You know, a lot of companies will build their passenger car tires on the automated systems. But we're the only two that are doing it on the truck side of things, which really, really helps increase the quality of the build of a tire. You know, we've got 40-inch tall tires that weigh 90 pounds each, and if your tire is out of round or whatever, you're really going to notice it. But there's sometimes we'll have 40-inch tires that don't need any weights to balance on them, and that's one of our best qualities that, you know, one of the best feedback that we receive from our dealers is our uniformity.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I never really considered that. I mean, a 90-pound tire per corner, that is pretty close to being, you know, on round with very little weight. That's something that I don't think people would really consider as being a very awesome feature when it comes to selecting a tire. That is one major selling point. That's pretty sweet, man. I can't complain about that.
Yeah, I think it's overlooked quite a lot, but it's just something that, yeah, something that we pride ourselves in, and you know, our state-of-the-art facility in Georgia and Japan, you know, they're doing that stuff for us on a daily basis, so we're real happy with it.
Very nice, very nice. Harry, can you tell us about the different, I guess, the sport compact? I mean, you have FD, and then you have Time Attack. Are there any other road-going car motorsports that Nitto is currently in?
The primary motorsports would still be the Formula Drift Series and the Global Time Attack. We do support some smaller series, smaller classes, whether it's SCCA sanctioned or NASA sanctioned.
Okay.
We do the annual 24 Hours of Thunderhill.
Really? Ooh.
Yeah, it's a pretty grueling race.
Yeah. What sort of information do you glean from in a race like that?
Well, for us, you know, we primarily use our NTO1 R compound tires.
Okay.
It's difficult to say. You know, people judge by who gets the fastest lap, but really, it's an endurance race. So, for us, we want to see obviously the durability of the tire, consistency, and overall performance throughout the entire track. the one thing that really kills people on time is really, you know, every time they have to take a pit stop, based on the rules, you're only allowed to change one tire at a time.
One tire at a time.
So they really have to be cautious on how often they change their tires, and you know that's been a great quality of the NTO1, just the durability, being able to be pushed to the limit and still maintain grip.
I did not know that. I mean, that's definitely, you would have to really factor that into your pitch strategy throughout the 25 hours. I mean, I had not considered that. That's pretty awesome. Who do you guys sponsor in FD?
FD this year, we'll have June May with the Bergen Ultra Racing.
Okay.
Total Tire RX-8. We'll have Matt Powers with the Need for Speed S14. We'll have Michael Essa with the GSR Autosport Z4. And our newest team would be Toshiki Yoshioka with the RSR S15.
Very nice. Very nice. By the way, Jun Mang is in the chat room. He just heard you give him a shout-out. He says he loves you guys.
We love him, too.
What's up, Jun? Tim, for off-road, you know, what events are you guys in?
I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
For off-road events, I know you guys were in King of Hammers. Is there any other motorsports you guys are in for off-road?
The only off-road stuff we're doing is the whole Ultra 4 series, and that consists of, you know, the King of the Hammers, and then there's five other races throughout the year, similar to that, you know. And
interesting.
It's a combination of 4x4 and desert racing, you know, and that's
why. A little bit of rock crawling and a little bit of desert racing.
Yeah.
We had two journalists out there for the King of Hammers, and I looked at the coverage, and to me it seemed like, you know, almost like that Reese's peanut butter cup sort of combination of, yeah, peanut butter being the rock crawling and then the chocolate of just desert racing. You mash these two things together, and I think you got really something that's pretty awesome. Some of the videos I've seen, first of all, rock crawling by itself is pretty amazing. How do you design a tire to handle that? Because that is not for the faint of heart or faint of tire. You take the pick.
Right. No, I mean, we're really fortunate to have such a great engineering team that's been through, you know, everything, all sorts of motorsports, from the UROC days where it was just rock crawling, mm-hmm. where they were really able to dial in compounds, and then you have your WeRock stuff, which is a good test of actual real rock obstacles, and then you've got your desert racing. You know, Nitto was involved in desert racing for 3 years, and then we had all the other desert experience from, you know, some of the other racers from our sister company. And, you know, when we looked at KOH or the Ultra 4 series in general, you know, you've got your high speed, you've got guys that are going 100 and something miles an hour through the desert, but then they've got to slow it down. They need something softer. They need something that's going to grip on the rocks and also be durable at the same time. So you've got to kind of combine all of your knowledge. And if you haven't done all of those type of activities, those different type of motorsports, then you're probably going to end up leaving something out. So we were really fortunate to have a good starting point. You know, we just came out with our Trail Grappler MT, and that was the base mm-hmm. for that tire. So that was a really good, mud terrain / desert kind of a tire that we put together for the general market. And then from there, we increased the durability in the sidewalls and modified some compounds, And then we made it in a 40-inch, a 40, 13, 50, 17 for these guys to go out and beat on. We've done a lot of testing, and we created a few different compounds. And, you know, it took a little while. Actually, I mean, it took us a very short time to come out with this. We had the backing of our president. You know, he was really gung-ho about getting this tire out and going out and showing what we're capable of. And the Ultra 4 series is just, it's been great. This whole King of Hammers race it was amazing. Just, you know, 30,000 people coming out of the desert. It's crazy. You know, it's not like it's right around the corner. It's not very accessible from
right.
the highway. I mean, you do have to do a little bit of, you know, you've got to take your vehicle off-road to get there. And it's just, it's amazing how much it's grown in the last 5 years. I go out every year just to watch. I'm a big off-road guy. I love it. The stuff for fun on the weekends. But, you know, 2 years ago, I came back from watching the race, and I talked to Tomo, our president, and I told him, man, this is the most exciting thing that I've ever seen. You know, I've been to desert races. You know, I've been to rock crawling stuff. But to have them all combined and watch what these guys put their vehicles through, and it's just amazing to see how many spectators go out there. You know, and people from Missouri, you know, people from all over the place take their vacations around this race so they can come out and watch it. You know,
wow.
You just don't see that kind of stuff anymore. So it's really just awesome for everybody to get together out at Johnson Valley for an entire week and have a really nice race out there.
Interesting. I mean, are there other competitors trying to create a package just for this particular race? Because it seems like you'd have to have, you know, a whole bunch of different factors built into the tire to really make it perform and survive that event.
As far as I know right now, I think we're the only manufacturer that's made a tire for this type of racing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other competitors have made tires for, let's say, maybe rock crawling specifically, or
right.
maybe more of a desert racing kind of a tire, and that's what some guys will end up using, but nobody's really designed anything for, you know, that performs well in both areas of, you know, like the rocks and the desert stuff combined. So, I mean, and, you know, and that's one of the cool things. Our guys had a good advantage on the tire, you know, because they can do what they need to do without worrying about getting flats. You know, it's when you're out there by yourself, and when you're out there 100 miles out or on a big rock obstacle, and you're worried about your tire popping, you know, that's going to take away from your focus on driving. And
right.
our guys, you know, we're really, really impressed with the way the tire held up out there.
Interesting. Harry, for the on the road stuff, as far as FD and time attack goes, what tires are the competitors using?
What tires are the competitors using?
Yes. Well, for, I mean, what the people who are running Nittos, what are they using? The NTO1s?
NTO1s for, I would say, the mid-tier class.
Okay.
And then the street class will primarily use the NTO5.
Okay. So what are the features of those two tires?
Well, I mean, NTO1 is our, you know, currently our only R-compound road race tire.
Okay.
You know, obviously the compounds, you know, super soft compound once it's warmed up. Durability, you know, these guys, I've seen a guy go through a whole red line time attack event on one set of tires.
Wow.
Durability-wise, it's great. It has, you know, it has an interesting pattern when you see the tire brand new. You can also have the option to shave it down to a full slick.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
But you know, from our past experience, I mean, it does, you know, improve drive performance a slight bit. But, you know, from our results, 2009, we... Ryan Gates won first place in every red line time attack event he's went through, and he's
right.
never changed the tires at all.
Interesting.
So,
very
yeah.
interesting. Well, that says a lot about the tire, I'd say. What has it been like working with the teams, Harry, in sort of providing support out there at the events?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that last part.
I'm sorry. What I said was, what has it been like working with the teams out of the event providing support?
Working at the event, it's interesting. You know, you go to the time attack events, you know, everyone's just very high-strung and concerned about the cars and, you know, more, I guess, hardcore enthusiasts. Not necessarily audience-friendly. But when you go to like a Formula Drift event, it's the complete opposite. You got 10,000 people screaming and yelling, and you know they're all ecstatic to watch you know cars sliding near walls and near each other. So it's you know it's a good. I guess for me, I like both for different reasons. You know, sometimes you want to be around just hardcore tuners and really see what's going on behind the cars.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you want to be out there with the crowds, just really cheering on and, you know, watching one of their favorite motorsports live.
Well, no doubt, FD, they give away a few of those tires, albeit with like a hole in the sidewall. But I've seen quite a few tires leave pit lane. Is that something that you guys really look forward to, is, you know, giving away, you know, June Manx tires that are signed or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, once we dismount them, we try to have the drivers come by and autograph them. And, you know, it's, you know, for us, I would never take them back personally. But, you know, for the fans, you know, it's something memorable that they can take home and just,
right.
you know, remember the exciting times that they had.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I think that's one of the big things that I always – I went to New Jersey, the wall, and was there for the event. And, you know, just watching a guy walk around with this tire on his shoulder with the biggest grin, you know, he's just ecstatic because, you know, and it's the one thing that is so fascinating about drifting and Formula Drift. It's such an event, and just the access you have to the pit row, to the drivers, to the crews, and everybody else, it's amazing to see, and everybody's extremely happy about it. I think that's a great thing and a great opportunity to take home the tire that was just laid to waste
right
there on the track. Very, very awesome. What new products does Nitto have out?
In end of last year, we just released our brand new all-season UHP tire.
Okay.
It's called the Motivo. It has a 560 UTQG rating, 60,000 mile warranty, and we only created everything in W and Y speed rated.
Okay. Tell us about the tire. I mean, it seems like that's perfect for somebody that's looking for. And I think I'm on the website right now. What sizes are available for this particular tire?
This tire will have 50 sizes available, from 17
okay.
inch to 20 inch. When we developed this tire, you know, we wanted to kind of expand our current product mix. So basically, the all-season UHP category was, you know, something we were kind of lacking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we still want to maintain that Nitto image, you know, that, you know, enthusiast, you know, we got that niche side, you know, we were making the low-profile stuff, we're making the summer tires and the race tires. But, you know, this is kind of a new feel for us, but we also wanted to make sure, you know, people still recognize it's a Nitto product. So, when we developed this tire, you know, obviously we wanted to consider mileage as the priority, all-season
mm-hmm.
performance, as well as winter performance, including wet performance.
Yeah, so, I'm looking at the sizes right now. You guys starting out at a 205/50 ZR17. That's pretty nice, 17s, man. I don't know if I can fit 17s in my Honda Fit, but... you know, if I do get a set, we'll definitely make it happen.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Everybody go check out the website, nittotire.com/tire/Motivo, Motivo. Definitely go check it out. What are you guys doing this season? What events are you guys getting into? Here you can go first.
For this season, I mean, like I said, pretty much the same amount of events as last year. We'll do the Formula Drift Series again. We're going to try to have more presence at Global Time Attack.
Okay.
We'll be at some of the local shows, SlowCom, Motion, you know, SEMA, obviously. And for the off-road segment, I think Tim can go into further details.
Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, so the other events we're going to do, we also sponsor the NMRA drag racing series, so everything
okay.
from Joliet to Bowling Green, Kentucky. We're going to attend a couple diesel events. We sponsor the Diesel Power Challenge that's put on by Source Interlink. We also do Ultimate Adventure. That's Peterson's Four-Wheel Off-Road.
Okay.
This year we picked up and we're the presenting sponsor for the Off-Road Evolution JK Experience. Let's see. Off-Road Expo. That'll be held in October in Pomona. So if there's any locals listening, come on out. Check us out. It's at the Orange County, Pomona Fairgrounds. And what else? A couple shows in Indianapolis. We do a bit of, you know, we've got the drift. We've got the drag racing. We've got some truck shows, four-wheel jamboree, and then we do some diesel events, and that's really big for us too.
Yeah, the diesel thing is definitely an interesting thing. I'm more of a diesel car guy, but
yeah.
The diesel trucks, I'm pretty close to a pretty rural area, and lots of diesel trucks. Lots of giant stacks coming out of the bed, you know?
Black smoke, yeah. You know what, the guy, it's so funny because these guys will, you know, they'll put so much money into their truck, it'll probably be faster than a Corvette, you know? And that's cool.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely seen my fair share of them leaving the line pretty hard, no doubt. It's a little bit scary.
All that work.
You know, it's definitely a little bit scary, but it's very, very cool. Very, very fascinating stuff. I've actually listened to Gail Banks over at Banks Turbo Systems, and he was on the Adam Carolla's CarCast, and very fascinating discussion when it comes to diesel performance and the things that they're trying to do over there. One of the things that they're trying to work on was a pretty high RPM diesel engine. The car, which I thought was fascinating, because, you know, diesels for cars haven't really picked up that much in the States. And why I don't know, maybe it's people's perception of them being dirty and sooty and loud and bang, 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 that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But diesels have come a long way. They've definitely come a long way. And I think there's plenty of opportunities for the diesel car market to really come around and people can start to embrace the 60 miles per gallon and ridiculous, you know, range that comes with having a diesel car. But none of our domestic manufacturers produce one, so that it makes it a little bit difficult. But I digress. Where can we keep up with Nitto this season? And can you give out the websites and Facebooks and Twitters and the whole nine?
Yeah, go for it, Harry.
Sorry, what was the last question again?
I was asking to give out the website and the Twitters and the Facebook website so everybody can go check it out and keep up with you guys this season.
Okay, definitely. For a corporate website, go to www.nittotire.com, NITTOTIRE. Our Twitter account, just look up NittoTire. And for Facebook, facebook.com/NittoTire.
Very cool. Everybody go check it out. Definitely, guys, throughout the season, you know, definitely check back in with us and let us know how things are going and how all your teams are faring. Just let us know. And, you know, if you give me something to read, I'll do that. And if you guys want to pop on the show and talk about anything that's new and fresh for Nitto this season, definitely let me know and we can make that happen.
Cool. Anytime. Anytime.
Very
awesome.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Maybe we'll have you guys on to talk tire tech, talk about grip, talk about how that works, or if you guys have one of the engineers or somebody you would like to have on the show, we'll talk about tires and sort of how that works and how people can really figure out tire sizing and what type of tires they should really look to when it comes to street and motorsports and off-road.
Definitely, yeah, we can set that up.
All right, very cool. We'll definitely do that. So everybody stay tuned for that. We'll make that happen in the future. So hopefully everybody is going to definitely go check them out, nittotire.com. That's NITTOTIRE.com. Definitely go check them out. This is Tim Coley and Harry Kong from Nitto. Definitely go support these guys. If you see them at an event, tell them you heard them on Motor YQ Radio. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks
a lot, Will.
Take care.
No problem. Well, everybody, I hope you guys enjoyed another episode of Moto IQ Radio. We had a fun episode. We had Matt Rodriguez from Honda Tuning Magazine. We had Harry Kong and Terry Colty from Nitto Tire USA. Definitely go check them out. HondaTuningMagazine.com, NittoTire.com. Definitely go support these guys and support these companies. Support you. I want to give a few shout outs here to people in our chat room, Studio Road, Scott Vanderhyde, shout outs to Carrie Ann De La Cruz, Drifter Mama, shout outs to June May. Dude, I really can't wait to see you this season. It's going to be fun, man. I think it's going to be a great season for you. I look forward to seeing you out there. Reckless, appreciate you checking out the show. Nacho Speed Garage, Sport Car Motion, World Racing, Female Racing News, Studio Road, Motorsports Marketing and Design, Global Time Attack, Formula Drift, Drift Union, Michelle Abadi. Go check her out. If you're watching the Octane Academy, make sure you root for Michelle Abadi. She's out there making it happen. Carrie Ann De La Cruz, Nissan Race Shop. Everybody, go check out local-motors.com. Go join their community over there. They were on the show not so long ago. Definitely go back in time and check out that particular episode. Also, on Facebook, definitely look up North American Championships of Speed. I'm definitely going to get Nicholas from there on the show and talk about what we can expect this season. Also, shout out to Mad Media and Matt Martelli. He was on the show not too long ago. I'm going to do a review of the Mint 400 DVD. It's awesome. I just got to sit down and write it and feel comfortable with what I'm writing. So a little short review of the DVD. It was awesome. Definitely awesome. So, again, if you're a company, if you're a shop, if you're a personality, if you're somebody that wants to advertise on this show, get in touch with me, will@MotoIQ.com, or you can hit me on Twitter, @MotoIQRadio. Let's get a conversation going. If you have any ideas for guests, we've done it in the past. We can definitely do it again. I know this week was supposed to be AMS, but due to something that occurred, we're going to reschedule them for the future. I am currently working on a couple of things, but next week, we're going to have the FD crew. We're going to have Ryan Sage, Jim Law, Kevin Wells. They will be on the show next week. It's going to be fun. Lots of interesting things to talk about. We'll hear from them. We'll talk a little bit about Irwindale, see what's going on, and we'll get up to date on FD for this season. It's definitely going to be a very fun episode. The following week, we're going to have Time Attack driver Michael Ormaner. I'm looking for a second guest for that, so I'll make that happen. And after that, on the 28th of March, Jared DeAnda hit me up. He said, hey, man, let's do a call-in show. So we'll make it happen. Jared and Friends, call-in show, end of this month on the 28th. Everybody stay tuned for that. Hey, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Definitely get in touch with me, will@MotoIQ.com, or on Twitter, @MotoIQRadio. Get the word out. Spread the love. Talk about the show. I want to try and pack these rooms in every week for everybody that is really interested in checking out the show. And on that note, we're going to close this up here. Mad love to everybody that's in the chat room. You guys got to make it out here. Tons of fun. I'm trying to work on Road Atlanta, trying to get my crew to go down. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get down there. I got to make it happen. So with that, this is the Moto IQ Radio. Matt Rodriguez, Nitto Tire USA. You guys have a good evening. Much love.